Hi, everybody. I'm John Torrance. Welcome to our podcast channel. I know that you will be blessed by today's message.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the wonderful name of Jesus. I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that it's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful. I thank you, Father, that we are not only going to be hearers, but we're going to be doers of your word today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen, and amen. And all of God's people said amen. Hallelujah. Don't go to sleep now this morning, and those of you watching, hallelujah, it's Sunday, and it's time to praise the Lord. Amen. So when I was preparing this, you know, it's 2024, and we're all making New Year's resolutions. Some of us are making New Year's revolutions. Some of us are turning over a new leaf. Some of us are turning over a new forest. But I want to tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what's happened in 2020. Doesn't matter what's happened in 2023. The Lord said, I need to tell you that you need to just keep believing. Just keep believing. Maybe he didn't answer your prayer in 2020. Maybe he didn't answer your prayer in 2023. But don't give up this morning. Just keep believing. Tell the person next to you, just keep believing. Amen. And you know our scriptures, Ephesians 3 verse 20, and it's in the TPT, and it says, never doubt. Well, what does that mean? Never doubt means just keep believing. Hallelujah. Just keep believing. God's mighty power to work in you. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request and more than your unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination, and he will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want His Holy Spirit constantly energizing me. But it's not going to happen if you stay in doubt and if you stay in unbelief. Amen. You must believe God. Just keep believing. And you know, there's a very old song, and you know, even if you go on Apple Music, they sang it, I think, probably in the 1920s and in the 1930s. But you know, that song is still relevant today. And Wayne's going to just quickly sing it for us. And many of you know it.
Only believe. Only believe.
You know it this morning.
All things are possible. If you only
believe this morning.
Only believe.
Hallelujah.
Only believe.
All
things are possible. If you only believe.
And then say, yes, I believe. Take it up.
Lord, I believe.
Do you believe Him this morning?
And yes,
come on, He's a miracle-working God. He can do it this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what problem you've come in with this morning. But just believe. Just believe. He's still a miracle-working God. He can still do it.
All things are possible, and yes, I believe.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All things are possible. You know, church, we were never called Christians in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible can you see us being called Christians. We were called believers. Amen. So we're called to believe. You're not called just to be a Christian here this morning, but you're called to believe. Hallelujah. So this morning, you know, faith and believing go hand in hand. When you look at it in the Bible, faith and believing go hand in hand. And faith is not only a gift of the Spirit, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. And the Bible says we only need a little bit of it, just like the grain of a mustard seed to move mountains. And you know, the Bible says to each and every one of us, God has given that measure of faith. So, you know, when you say believing and faith, I want to make it easy for you because sometimes we complicate things. Amen. And you hear faith messages and some of us just end up being complicated. But all believing simply means is being in agreement with God. Being in agreement with God and His Word. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be in agreement with God. Because faith is the currency of heaven, and we can receive nothing from God if we don't believe. Amen. And so this morning, I want to encourage your faith. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. Now, let me tell you this morning, faith is made in your heart, but believing God is a choice. Believing God is a choice. So we must choose in 2024, either I'm going to believe God in 2024, or I'm going to be in unbelief and believe what I see around me. I'm going to believe what I think and what I feel, or I'm going to believe what God's Word says about my situation and everything around me. Amen. We need to connect our hearts to the receiver, and His name is Jesus. You see, we don't believe in a religion this morning. We believe in a person, and His name is Jesus. And because He said it in His Word, we can believe it. Hallelujah. So we must decide, are we going to believe this year in Jesus and in His Word and what He says about our situations, or are we going to doubt? Because we can read Ephesians 3:20 over and over again about how He's going to do all sorts of things, but it's not like a saying that we say all over and over. We need to believe it in our hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. And you know, it's for me, it's wonderful just to believe God, because you know, John and I, I can tell you, we're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. But I don't know how God built this building. I don't know how He pays the bills. I don't know how through COVID we were able to pay everything and pay staff. But you know what? We just believed. We just said, we don't know how to do it, but we just believed. Amen. We said, Jesus, this is not our dome. This is Your dome. You see, Your name is on the door. And so we just believe. And it happens. It's as simple as that. And you, people say to us, but weren't you stressed out? And, you know, weren't you worried? And you know what? When you just believe, you take the stress out of everything. Just believe. Amen. It just takes the pressure off you. Hallelujah. Just believe. Hebrews 4 verse 3 says, when we believe, we enter the rest of God. Come on this morning. In 2024, just enter the rest of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, Jesus says this. He says that the most, do you want to know what Jesus says about the most important work that we should be doing? And it's found in John 6:28. And, you know, they asked Him, what are we to do? Now, isn't that like us? What am I going to do? What am I going to do about my child? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay my rent? What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Amen. And then we phone somebody and we say, what are we going to do? And we phone 10 people, and by the time you phoned all those people, they don't know what they're doing half the time anyway. Amen. And so they asked Jesus this, found in John 6:28. And they said to Him, what are we to do that we should habitually be doing the works of God? And you know what Jesus answered? He said, this is the work of God. Do you want to know what the work of God is? That you believe, adhere to, trust in, rely on, and have faith in the one who he has sent, and his name is Jesus. Hasn't that just taken the pressure off you right now? Hasn't that just lifted a burden? You thought you had to do everything, but you didn't. All you have to do is just believe. That's the work of God. Amen. That's the work of God. So our work is believing, and God's work is miracles. Hallelujah. All we have to do is believe, and his work is miracles. Now in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, we all know the scripture, and we have it stamped everywhere, and we put it on our cars, and we hang it up in our lounges, and we do all those kind of things with it. And it says in Jeremiah 11, 13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. You see, we just read the top part. We like that top part, don't we? I know the plans I have for you, you know, to prosper you, to do that. And then we stop there. Because we don't want to find out anything else, because God must just, you know, do everything, but we don't have to believe. But it says this, then you will call upon me, and then what else have you got to do? Come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, or believe in me with all your heart. Amen. So, you know, if we knew what the plan was, God wouldn't have said, well, I know what the plan is. And isn't it our job to go and find out what God's plan is for our lives? Amen. Because God knows the plan, and he'll never deviate from the plan that he has for your life. Each and every person sitting here this morning has a plan, has a purpose, and has a destiny in God. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your background is. He has a plan to do you good this morning. Amen. And his plan is found in his word. You know, this book is full of promises, but if you never read a promise, and if you never know what his promises say, all you will do is be a Christian that comes to church on a Sunday and goes home. Comes to church on a Sunday and goes home, depressed, defeated, down, never experiencing anything that God has for you. But when you take his word in your mouth, like John was saying last week, he can do anything. Amen. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. Psalm 119, verse 10 says, David said, your word have I hidden my heart, that I may not sin against you. Now, God's plan for you and I, there are bumps in the road. Amen. And you will face storms. People think, well, I become a Christian and sure, this went wrong and that went wrong. Well, we will face storms in life. Amen. There will be ups and downs. People will speak all manner of evil against you. You know, sometimes we become a Christian and, you know, somebody said something and, oh, no, now I'm giving up. Places are full of hypocrites. I'm never going back there. You know, how many of you have been to a restaurant and had one bad meal, but you've gone back there again? I mean, I have. You know, you don't just never go back. Because, you know, God is, you know, making us into the image of Christ. So there will be things. There will be things on your walk in the plan that he has for you. But then he says, don't look at what's happening in your world. He says, I've overcome the world. Hallelujah. You are overcomer this morning. He's overcome all those situations. But all you have to do is just believe. You know, my personal plan and your personal plan is not the same. But when we all come together like this, and those of you watching online, God has given all of us callings and talents and purposes so that we can come together and make a difference. Amen. We can all come together and make a difference in this world, because God's plan and purpose for you always has a future and a hope. Isn't that wonderful? God has a future and a hope for you and your children and your children's children and their children to 1,000 generations. Amen. And so to give you a future and a hope to walk in everything and possess everything that he's called you to do. And only that plan comes when you call on him, when you seek him, when you pray, and you choose to believe. Amen. Doesn't just, you know, some of us think God's plans just automatically happen. No, there's something you need to do as well. Amen. So God's plans always give us a future and a hope. Now, if God's plans give you a future and a hope, don't you think that the enemy has a plan for you as well? Amen. And it's called the default plan. If you never believe in God's word, if you never take God's word and read it, if you never put it in your heart, if you never speak it, you end up with the default plan that the enemy has for you. It's the devil's plan. It's a dead-end plan. It's a steal, kill, and destroy plan. Amen. And, you know, just like an insurance policy, it has benefits, the devil's plan. Shall I tell you what the devil's benefits plans are for you? And, you know, when you look at your insurance policy, you know, all the most important thing, it's all in small writing. Amen. So the devil's plan, the no-hope plan, the dead-end plan, the steal, kill, and destroy plan have benefits. Shall I tell you what the benefits are? No hope, heavy yoke that'll give you a stroke, keep you broke, make you smoke dope, take coke, and be woke. That's all the devil's plan has for you. So you can either walk in God's plan, or you can have the default plan. Shall I just read that to you again, just to make sure that you've read the small print? You see, this is the big print, but the devil always has the small print. That's why the Bible, that's why there's a saying, the Bible doesn't say this, that's why there's a saying that says, the devil's in the details. The devil's in the details. Shall I tell you what his detailed plan is for your life, for your children's children? If you don't find God's plan in here and start believing God's word for 2024, amen. His benefit plan for you, no hope, heavy yoke, that will give you a stroke, keep you broke, make you smoke dope, and take coke and be woke. Now, I don't want any of that in my life. I don't know about you. Amen. I only want God's plan for my life. Amen. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, he said to Abraham, come out of your father's house to the land which I'll show you. Come out of your father's house to a land which I will show you. Some of us need to come out of small thinking, because you think God is so small, he's as small as you. And you think you've got such big problems that he can never meet your need. But when God said to Abraham, come out of your house, I mean, houses, even if you've got a 10-bedroom house, it's much smaller than a land. Amen. He said, come out of your house, out of small thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Because according to Ephesians 3:20, God is more than my greatest request and my unbelievable dream and my wildest imagination. That's big. Amen. Some of you, God needs to change your perspective of things. It's too small. Whatever you believe in God for, it's too small today in Jesus' name. Oh, but I want to tell you, just keep believing. Just keep believing. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says this, My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want to show you this morning really quickly that, you know, when we don't believe God and when we don't have faith and when we doubt and when we are full of unbelief, do you know that it grieves the heart of God? I don't know about you, but the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I want to please God. And I know you sitting here, you're full of faith. You want to please God. And there's an interesting story in the Bible, and it's the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and I'll just skim through it. And they asked Jesus to come because her brother was sick, Lazarus, their brother was sick. And Jesus took 4 days to come. Now, let me tell you, God is touched by our emotions. And the Bible says that he sent the Holy Spirit, our comforter. But in this story, we see they say to Jesus, come, and he gets word. But Jesus only arrives 4 days later. And then he meets Martha, and Martha says to him, because they knew him and he'd eaten at their house and they were friends, she sort of gave him a bit of lip there, and she says to them, had you been here, my brother would not have died, Jesus. You know, it's almost like, yeah, you took your time. You could have healed him, but now he died. And Jesus says to her, your brother shall rise. It's in verse 23. And then he says again to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You see, Jesus doesn't just heal bodies. He makes things that are dead come alive again. He makes things that are dead come alive again. I don't know what's been dead in your lives. Maybe you say, God, that's just dead. It's over. I just can't do it anymore. Well, I want to tell you, you serve a resurrected Jesus. He doesn't only heal things. He doesn't only restore things, but he takes things that are dead and makes them alive again. Amen. And so she goes on and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. And then he says this, he who believes. Are you one of those he who believes here today? I believe you are. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live again. Hallelujah. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And then Martha, yeah, you can read on here. She says, yes, okay. Quickly, I'm going to go and find Mary. So off she goes, she finds Mary. Mary also says the same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But you know, this is what Jesus did. And many of us think that when we read this book, and I don't know, maybe when we get to heaven, you can clarify this to me, and I know we've got very intelligent people here. But when she said that, in verse 33, it says, therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. He had just told Martha that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Do you think he was groaning, our Savior Jesus, and troubled because he was so upset that Lazarus was dead? No, he was just about to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was groaning here because of their unbelief. He was groaning because of their unbelief. Amen. I believe that. And then he said, where have you laid him? And she said, Lord, come and see. And of course, we know the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Amen. I'm sure you can all memorize that one. Those of you watching online, Jesus wept. Do you think that Jesus was crying because Lazarus had died? Jesus was crying because of their unbelief. He had already told Martha, I'm coming to raise Lazarus from the dead. Amen. He was crying because of their unbelief. That's what I believe. Amen. Do you know there's the second shortest book or verse in the Bible? Does anyone remember that one? Remember Lot's wife? Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You know why? Because remember, Lot's wife was also full of unbelief. They told her to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't look back. Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing back there for you. There's nothing back in the world for you. There's nothing back there for you. So I don't know why we as Christians, the Bible says you've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. There's nothing back there for you. Amen. So Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. You know why? Because she looked back in unbelief as well. Hallelujah. Just keep believing this morning. Just keep believing. So Jesus wept, and then in verse 38, it says, and then some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind, also have kept this man from dying? He has all these unbelievers there, all around Jesus. Could Jesus have not done this? Could Jesus have not done that? Then Jesus again, groaning in himself. Do you think Jesus was groaning in himself because of that? He was groaning because of their unbelief. I don't know about you, but I don't want Jesus in 2024 to groan about my unbelief. Amen. I'm going to believe God that what his word says shall come to pass in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what you see, because this word is working. It's working. It's working mightily in you this morning. Amen. And so, hallelujah. And so then Jesus says to them, take away the stone, and they roll away the stone. And then Jesus says to her, did I not say to you? Now, maybe Jesus is saying that to some of you today. Some of you watching online. Did I not say to you that your sons and daughters shall prophesy? Did I not say to you that I will heal your body? Did I not say to you that your children shall come to God? Did I not say to you that you shall get that job? Did I not say to you that the doctors are saying that you're barren, but my word says to you that you shall have that child? Did I not say to you? Jesus is saying that to some of you today. Jesus is saying that to some of you today. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? You will see the glory of God. Come on this morning. Just keep believing. Just keep believing. And then, of course, Jesus prays here, and he prays not because he needs to pray for to the Father, but he prays because they need to hear this. And he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this to you, that they may believe that you have sent me. Hallelujah. And then he shouts with a loud voice and says, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, Lazarus comes out of the tomb all wrapped up in his grave clothes. And he says, loose him and let him go. I want to tell you this morning that unbelief needs to loose you and let you go this morning. Every spirit of unbelief, you loose these people this morning and you let them go. And I speak the spirit of faith into each and every heart this morning. May the spirit of faith start arising in your heart this morning to know that Jesus, you're not just serving a religion, you're serving a risen Savior. Amen. And He loves you, and He died for you, and He rose for you this morning. And He's seated at the right hand praying for you and for me this morning. Amen. And so I'm going to finish quickly with five things that I believe if you do them this year by believing God, your life is going to change exponentially. I guarantee you this morning, it will happen. Hallelujah. Number one, believe that it is possible to do anything that God tells you to do. It is possible to do anything that God tells you to do. Why is it possible? Because everything that God asks you to do is for your good. It's for your good. This word here is for your good. Amen. But the Bible says through Christ you can do it. So you better stop saying it's too hard, it's too difficult, it won't work for me, it's too long, it's too short, I can't afford it, it's impossible. You need to say, if God said I can do it, I can do it. Say to the neighbor, if God said I can do it, I can do it. Those of you online, if God said you can do it, you can do it. Amen. Stop letting the devil lie to you this morning. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to face reality that we're not doing the things that God asks us to do, not because we can't, but because we won't. Amen. Many times we're looking for an easier path. I know I've done that. Looking for an easier path, and then I think, God's just going to change His mind and let me get on that other path. No. Amen. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. God doesn't change His mind. Because, you know, the wonderful thing about God is everything He asks me to do in the Bible, even the hardest things, are for my benefit. And I believe in Christian circles, I can tell you now, there are people sitting here, and even amongst us very holy ones and the holy ones there, the hardest thing for all of us to do is the one thing that He asks us to do in this word is forgive our enemies. Yep. Forgive our enemies. Why? Because it's doing nothing for them. When you forgive your enemy, it's doing nothing for them, but everything for you. Amen. And it's for you so that you can walk in freedom and in peace. Remember, I spoke to you about the peace of God this morning. That's what God wants us to do in 2024. Walk in peace this morning. Amen. You'll have freedom. Amen. You know, we can all walk around life being grateful or hateful. We can walk around life being grateful or hateful. The choice is ours. You see, God never goes against our choice. Amen. Believing is a choice this morning. So we're either going to have joy, peace, and power in our lives. I don't know about you. I want to have power in my life in 2024. Amen. But I think that's one of the things that the devil loves keeping us with and keeping us in his plan is unforgiveness. Then the second thing, I believe that God can change anyone. I just heard a sigh from this side here. I think someone went, oh. You know how long I've been praying for that person? My husband. You know, that one's a tough nut, eh? Sure. Well, let me tell you, God will deal with people we pray for. Mark 11:24 says, whatever things we pray, when we desire, we believe we receive them and you will have them. You've got to believe this morning. You can't say, praying for my husband, praying that he's going to change. They break that alcohol. Then you go and see a friend of yours. This husband of mine, he's such a rubbish, eh? Sure. Didn't pay the rent this month. My children, oh my Lord. They come out of home at all hours, but now you've been praying for them. Lord, I thank you that you saved my children. Thank you, Lord, my children are going to be taught of the Lord. Thank you, Father, I believe. And then you say you believe it, and then you turn around. These kids of mine, they're driving me crazy. Coming home all hours of the night, drinking and smoking. And you better stop saying that this morning. You will have whatever you say. The Bible says we need to believe. Whatever things we pray for, we need to believe. You need to see that husband sitting here in church with his hands up, buffet. You need to see those children coming to church on a Sunday. Amen. You need to see that person at work that you've been praying for all these years. You think, oh, no, that person's never. No, you better not say that anymore. That person's coming to the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you prayed. Because you know why? God can change anyone. And you know why he can change anyone? Because his Holy Spirit is always working. His Holy Spirit is always working. Never underestimate the power of the Holy Ghost. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working on your behalf this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I believe that every circumstance that you and I face can change. Amen. Every circumstance that you and I face can change. And I know that change is here to stay, but everything is subject to change this morning. Amen. You can be debt-free. You can be healed from sickness. You can love again. You can get that dream job. You can have that baby you're believing for. You can have your own business. You don't have to be stuck in the past. Believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There is no circumstance in your life that God cannot change. You say, well, why didn't I get it? Why didn't that door open? Because sometimes rejection is just redirection. Sometimes rejection is just redirection. God knows what doors must open and what doors must close. Amen. Then the fourth thing I believe is that God can take any mistake that we make and good can come out of it. God can take any mistake that you and I make and good can come out of it. Now, I'm not talking about sin because, some people, they give their heart to Jesus, but the devil keeps everything else, But I'm talking about 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But I want to tell you that God is a restorer. It doesn't matter what's happened in your past. He will restore everything. Double for your trouble in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And, if you believe that God can make a good thing come out of any mistake, then you know what will happen is you'll never be afraid to step out of failure. Amen. Some of you think, I'm not good enough. God can never bless me. God can never do this. God can never do that. Well, he can. Amen. He needs you to step out of that failure mentality this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be afraid of failure because failure is also part of success. I don't know about you, but failures that I've made in the past have stopped me making failures in the future. Amen. So we learn by our mistakes. Hallelujah. But God is a restorer. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. And let me just say this. You can't just go around saying, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. All things work. And then live like the devil. The Bible says all things work together who love God. All things work together who love God for good. Hallelujah. So when we pray, when we love God and we want his will, there's nothing in our lives that God can't take and work good out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, all things are working for my good. Hallelujah. All things are working for your good this morning. Amen. Because we serve a good God. And then lastly, we must really, really, and I'm serious about this, and the older I get, the more serious I get about it, our time is in God's hands. Your time and my time is in God's hands. You need to believe that this morning. You know, there's two of the most expensive things that you and I own. It's not your car, it's not your wedding ring, it's not the house that you live in, it's not anything like that. The two most expensive things that you and I own is our time and our health. Our time and our health. So we need to really believe that every minute of every day is in God's hands. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. So he knows what's going to happen in your day. He made that day. Hallelujah. So that's why you can just rest in him. Rest in him and believe that only good things are coming your way. Hallelujah. You say, well, how come things haven't come my way and it's been taking so long? Well, God is always on time. God is always on time. Amen. Just keep believing something. Wake up in the morning. Tomorrow morning, wake up. I dare you. And say, something good is coming my way today. Wake up every morning and say, something good is coming my way today. Amen. If you don't say that, you're going to go to the default plan. And I read to you the small print. I don't want that plan. I want that something good is going to happen to me today plan in Jesus' name. And just believe that your time is in his hands. You know, sometimes we get stuck in traffic jams and we walk around and we're all in a bad mood because we're late and all of this kind of stuff. But you know, maybe God is saving you from something. Maybe you're stuck in that traffic jam. Maybe you were late for that appointment. You see, our time, now I'm not saying be irresponsible and, you know, don't go to work on time and all of that. But I'm saying things happen in life. Your time is in his hands. I remember years ago, John and I were going to, it was a marriage retreat at, well, Camp Hope then, Chapel Estate. And it was a marriage seminar. So, of course, now we've got to be in this marriage seminar, so we can't be fighting. But we get in the car to go, and we're like probably 2 minutes away from Camp Hope. And we forgot the video, the marriage video. Oh, my Lord. We had to show it because it was part of the whole marriage seminar. So anyway, we turn around, and of course, he's huffing and puffing, and I'm saying to him, why didn't you, bring the video? It wasn't my job to bring the video, and I was doing, he was saying you were doing that. And, now we're on our way to this marriage seminar, and him and I are fighting about who brought the video and who didn't bring the video. Isn't that true how we have all these silly fights? So anyway, we go and we get the video, jump back in the car, and we're on our way back to Camp Hope, Chapel Estate. And as we get to the corner where the petrol garage was, there had been a heist. They had a car had, I think it was a Mercedes, had bashed into one of those trucks that carry the money. It had turned over. There were about 10 to 15 guys with AK-47s, and all the cars that were parked there, they were firing in the air, and anybody who was in that area, fortunately nobody who came to the marriage seminar was caught in that. But, we, John and I, had we not forgotten the video, had we not, been late, we would have been caught in a heist. Who knows what could have happened? We could have been shot. Something could have happened to us. But you know what? Our times are in His hands. Your time is in His hands. Your time is in His hands this morning. And if I've said nothing else to you today for 2024, just keep believing. Just keep believing. With God, all things are possible. Amen. God bless you this morning.
We trust you enjoyed this message. To stay connected to Durban Christian Center, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and download our DCC Church app. Hop onto our website for any information you might need about the Durban Christian Center. If you are in Durban, South Africa, we would absolutely love for you to join us at our Sunday morning services at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can find us at 39 Golf Road, Mabel. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.